Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. I accompany Phoebe Taplin, a freelance journalist who at the time of the interview in May 2011 had recently returned from Moscow, where she and her husband had lived for the past 4 years. In her effort to discover the city, she formed a walking group and researched where to walk in Moscow. Many of these walks were published in a local paper, and Phoebe is selecting 48 of them to be published in guidebook form. The interview was recorded on a walk around residential streets in Bishop Stortford, a marked contrast from many of the walks in Moscow. How is it that you're writing a book of walks about Moscow?
Well, we've just been living in Moscow for 4 years. I love walking. I love to get in touch with a city. I think it's one of the best ways, actually, by exploring on foot. And I like to do it with company, many people as possible. That was basically why I started a walking group there. And then I offered the editor of the local paper a weekly walk. And somewhat reluctantly, they took it up and it became quite a popular feature in the Moscow news. And I did that for 3.5 years, and then we left, and then they asked me to put together a book of the top walks, which was very hard to select, actually. But there's going to be 48 of them in the book. And that's going to be made up of monthly walks in 4 different categories that I've identified.
You chose to do the walks originally because you wanted to discover this new city that you'd moved to.
Yes, yes.
And yet you wanted to do that in the company of people, so you sort of, what did you do, advertise or publicise it in some
yes.
way, saying, come out and join me, discover Moscow? Was that the idea?
I didn't even advertise, really. It grew by word of mouth that I started off with the people that I just happened to bump into, who were mostly other mums at the school gate. I said, oh, how about we all go for a walk around this area of town? I've heard it's quite interesting. It was quite hard, actually, at first, and I ended up, at the beginning, I used to be on my own quite a lot, and I would go and do it anyway. And gradually, there was a kind of core group who would come and join me. Once I started publishing in the paper, then people obviously knew who I was a bit more, so then they would get in touch. So by the end, it was sort of 300 people or so.
What prompted you to approach the local paper? What was the impetus for you?
Very good question. I met someone who worked for the local paper who was just leaving. And she said, you know, what really they'd like a feature on, but I can't be bothered to do it, is all the different beaches that you can go to in the summer in Moscow, because it gets very hot in the summer. And a roundup of all those different, that would be brilliant, they'd love that, but I can't be bothered to do that. I said, well, I can. I love doing that kind of thing. I'll do it. So I did it. Actually, without them asking, I just wrote a piece. I did some week's research going around to all these beaches, and I sent it to them. They went, oh, this is great. Have you got any more like this? And I'd always wanted to be a walks writer. I just thought it was a really fun job. So I said, well, I'll tell you what I could do is I could do a walk every week. And at first they were a bit, well, how would that work? You know, where are you going to walk? Is there enough places to walk? They can't. How long can you keep going for? And I said, well, I've already written a list of 60 places that I want to visit and walk around the city, lots of parks, forests, you know, areas that I'm interested in. And what used to happen was every time I went to one of those 60, I'd discover 3 more that I didn't even know about. So it just grew. But yes, in the end, they were quite happy having the weekly walk. In fact, they were a bit lost without it, I think.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about how you go about writing a walk around Moscow.
Yes, well,
and how might it differ from we're walking around Bishop Stortford?
Yes, different. Yes.
Okay, so how would it work?
That's an interesting comparison. One big difference is we're not likely to encounter any wild dogs here. That was quite a big stumbling block for me at the beginning because I'm a bit scared of dogs. But I got myself a thing off the internet that repels them. One of those things postmen have, makes a high pitched noise. I felt much more confident with this thing. So then when we were going through the woods, we heard a pack of wild dogs coming. I'd just get out what I called my dog zapper, and they'd all run away. So that's quite different.
These aren't walks you're recommending to tourists at the moment.
Those particular ones I said do, you know, take a zapper or be careful or don't go at this time of year. Yes, likely to be more extreme weather in Moscow. Obviously lovely and temperate here. It's kind of really struck us, and we moved back here in February, so with snowdrops. And Moscow's only just got rid of the snow now, about 3 weeks ago. So it would have been a lot of a longer winter, obviously. It's not at all like being a bishop at Stortford, which is a good and a bad thing. But it's true that actually suburbs like this have been a great delight for us since we came back, because the idea of a house and a garden and some relatively quiet little roads and so on is it's not really something that exists within Moscow. The outskirts of Moscow are horrendous tower blocks. I mean, just miles and miles of very, very tall apartment buildings. And in between them, there are kind of hidden gems, palaces and churches and parks and things. But to get something more like what we would recognise as the sort of little houses and gardens, you go out to the dacha villages, which, of course, is where everyone goes in the summer, goes and stays in a little wooden house with a garden, grows their vegetables and so on, and that's very much still a part of Russian life. What I got into in the end were there were sort of four main types of walks that I was doing. One would be what you could find in quite a lot of travel guides, which is a sort of regular city tour. You choose a small bit of the city, which is all very interesting and historic, especially the central area, and you just go, ooh, look at that nice church, and, you know, here's the church where Pushkin got married, and this is a mansion where an actress lived, and this is the Art Nouveau house where the Smirnov family lived, the vodka magnates, or whatever. And, oh, and this boulevard we're walking down used to be the old city walls, that sort of thing. And in some ways, they were actually my least favourite, because that's the kind of thing that you can read in lots of places already in English. And the ones I really liked doing were maybe parks around the city. So you could go to like a big green area and discover little hidden palaces there, and areas of lakes, forests. It's amazing what there is sort of hidden around the outlying areas of Moscow. And then I really liked going out of town on the train, so discovering the countryside outside Moscow, what they call the Podmoscovy area around Moscow, and little towns, little villages, and areas of countryside that were outside the city. And then also I got very into doing thematic walks, so it would be sort of musical Moscow, and you'd go past all the sites and monuments and museums and things that had to do with music, or had to do with lighting, or had to do with some particular author, Chekhov, Stanislavski, Tolstoy, whatever it was. And I got very into those sort of themes. Well, sometimes it led to quite a strange route, but that was part of the fun.
OK, so when you got the paper to take on this idea of the weekly walks,
yes.
What was it? What did that actually mean for you in terms of day-to-day? You had to research the walk, you had to walk the walk more than once?
Or, oh, yeah, definitely.
And in fact, what length of walk are we looking at?
Well, that's an interesting question. Anything between, I think the shortest is probably 2 kilometres, literally around the Kremlin area and the Alexandrovsky Gardens. And the longest, they didn't used to be much over 10 kilometres, because you would then have too many things to fit into 1,000 words, basically, too many points of interest. So it was usually somewhere between 2 and 10 kilometres. I would go and try them out on my own with my dog Zapper, sometimes several times, because the first route I found wasn't very satisfactory.
And how easy was it for a woman walking alone in Moscow streets or suburbs?
Well, it's a very good question. One of the things that I found at the beginning was that I was really discouraged by everybody I met. I did the same thing in Berlin just for fun. I had a walking group, and a lot of people in Berlin that I knew had lived in Moscow, and they all said, there's no way you'll be able to do the same thing in Moscow, which was a bit of a red rag to a bull, including Russian friends. It's, don't walk in the parks, it's dangerous, you know, it'd be a bad idea, and the police will stop you, and you know, it's very unsafe. And I think a lot of that was a hangover from the 90s, when it was a lot more dangerous. And we lived, our first flat in Moscow was on the 20th floor of a tower block. And from it, you could look down into this area of forest. And I kept looking down, going, look, it's a forest down there. You know, don't you think we could walk in it? And I kept asking local people, oh, no, don't go in that forest. And eventually I thought, well, I'm just going to go and look through the gate, and it can't be that dangerous. And in fact, it was full of people pushing prams and reading books and playing chess. And forest as a kind of centre for Russian life could be a whole thesis. And I suddenly realised it wasn't dangerous at all. I was quite annoyed, actually, that it had taken me a week to discover that. And then after that, there was no turning back. And actually, no, I think it's a very safe city. It's definitely safer than London, I think, to walk about late at night, suburbs and whatever. Quite often got the last metro home. Some of the woods were a little bit scary. As I said, there's the dogs. The dogs could be quite a problem. I mean, genuinely, there were incidents with the dogs, but also there was one forest, Bitsevsky Park, that got itself into the news because there was a serial killer there. He became known as the chessboard killer because he said he wanted to kill as many people as there were squares on the chessboard. Now in prison. And I was doing a walk there with a couple of my walking group, and we were a bit lost in the middle of the wood. And I was trying to jolly them along. I said, well, of course, I'm trying to reclaim this park and give it a better reputation. Look at the lovely flowers. What do you mean, reputation? I said, oh, well, never mind. Never mind. No, what do you mean? And so they forced me to tell them the park, which I should never have done. And one of the walkers had a complete freak out and said, I can't stay here. This is terrible. I'll have to go home right now, which was a bit tricky since we were a little bit lost. But we did head for the nearest exit, and we got on a minibus, Mashuka, as they're called, and went straight to the metro. And that particular park definitely had a an image problem. But actually, yeah, it was a very nice place to be.
you go with a group. What day of the week would you normally go out for a walk?
It actually just ended up being any day. And in fact, towards the end, I was walking most days, so it would be probably 3 or 4 days a week.
And did you take a dictaphone
I didn't, actually. I know people were always saying that. How do you take notes? I think it was just I did them so many times, I didn't actually need to. I had a map, and I did used to scribble things on the map. And sometimes a notebook.
That didn't raise suspicion from the authorities?
Well, it did sometimes. Not from the authorities, but the opposite. Actually, it's funny you say that. People didn't like you writing stuff when you were looking at them. So there was one time I was waiting for the trolley buses, and I was trying to work out which was the best trolley bus to catch along this road. And I was writing down, and this woman, the driver of the trolley bus, got off and, why are you writing this down? What have I done something wrong? And if you go into a shop and start writing things down, you know, I'd write what you could buy in that shop. People would come up and say, who are you reporting for? But no, the authorities didn't seem to mind too much.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the paper itself?
The Moscow News has a long history. It's just been 80 years old a couple of years ago, and it's been through, obviously, a lot of changes historically. It is basically funded by the state news agency RIA Novosti. It has a mixture of local reporting, local events. It's got very good arts and entertainment. It comes out twice a week. Got a circulation of about 40,000. It's read a lot by expats, but I think also quite a number of Russians who pick it up to practice their English or whatever.
And all the walks that you're writing about are for people to undertake these walks just by reading your book, and they can carry your book with them.
That's the theory, although I would definitely say to them, which I'll put in the introduction, take your own map as well. It's definitely not straightforward following a walk in Moscow. A lot of landmarks change very quickly, just the way that Moscow's laid out.
Also, I'd like to know a little bit more about, you said you began something in Berlin, so your husband's been posted
yes,
out in Berlin.
Yes, absolutely.
And you started off in Berlin. Have you done some walking routes of Berlin?
That was purely for fun, and it started one day. I bought a German book of walks around Berlin, and a friend said, oh, I'll try it out with you. And we went the next week, and we had a great time, and we said, oh, let's do it every week. So the following week, she invited a lot of her friends, and the walking group was born, and by the end was about 100 people. And they didn't all turn up every week, thank goodness. It was mostly, you know, 6 used to be the magic number, I think. What was interesting was in Germany, obviously, you can get a lot of books of what we would think of in England as sort of walking routes. Go here, you know, turn right, turn left, here's a nice lake. And in Moscow, there wasn't one. Not in English, but not in Russian either. It just isn't. It's not something that's really...
So Russians don't go for walks?
Oh, a lot of Russians came with me. I mean, there were quite a lot of Russians in the walking group who were very keen, including people who'd lived in Moscow all their lives, and used to say, I only ever saw my own area. And that was the main thing, that I think culturally people tend to go to the place that's near, and particularly a big park, and walk around it. If they're going to go for a walk, that would be it. And there's quite a lot of going into the forest, finding a picnic spot, sitting down, having a big picnic, and then leaving again. The culture that we have of quite a long walk going from A to B and covering quite a lot of ground, it really is alien. Because I remember quite early on, when they were still trying to sort out the map, and I can remember the woman in the design section at the Moscow News saying, well, this is ridiculous. This route is 10 kilometres. Why on earth wouldn't you go in a car? She was just, why would you ever want to walk that far? And so it was quite a cultural problem at the beginning.
Okay, so now you've come back to England, and you're rediscovering London. Admittedly, you're living in Bishop Stortford, but you're now rediscovering London. Have you started up a walking group?
In fact, it was almost the first thing I did, encouraged by some old friends. And it's actually been a brilliant way of meeting people again. The walking group that I've got basically consists of members of my Berlin walking group and members of my Moscow walking group who happen to be living in England, along with very old friends from England, and then anybody else that wants to come. So it's delightfully random. It's been brilliant. And the problem at the moment is it's purely for pleasure, and I'm still trying to make a living as a freelance journalist, and so I have to find a way of kind of combining it. And at the moment, it works. It just about works. I've got quite a lot of work still for Russian publications, so they wanted me, for instance, to go to a Russian gallery that's opened in Shoreditch. So I had a walk that sort of ended there. So I'm combining it, but not in a particularly business-like way. I would love to write walks again. I mean, that's how I definitely... it was the best job I ever had, by quite a long way.
Well, I'm sure it's the envy of a lot of people who would listen to this interview, is they'd say, oh, wow, that's exactly what I'd like to be doing.
Yeah.
But you're saying yourself that having the discipline of walking and providing a walk every week for
yes,
a newspaper
yes.
was actually really good for you.
Definitely. And what I loved about it was that every week, whether I really felt like it or not, I had to come up with something new, some new bit of the city that I hadn't really covered before, or some new town that was outside that I hadn't explored. And it was that really prompted me to explore. And I actually feel it's very important. I mean, particularly maybe as an expat, but as anyone particularly moving to a new area, anywhere, to get a sense of where you are and feel kind of rooted in it. I mean, I feel very empowered now about Moscow. I feel I really know Moscow. I want to be back there, probably partly for that reason, but I loved it as a city, absolutely love it. And I find that's a lot to do with knowing every corner intimately and really knowing what there is to discover. But yes, in buying my new walking boots, for instance, and I did happen to mention a while, I'm a professional walks writer, and the guy was like, wow,
great job.
Having said that, it probably hour by hour, if you think of the research, was probably the worst paid job ever, but that you have to sort of overlook that particular bit.
Okay, and what about sitting down to edit those walks into a book? How challenging is that?
Yes, it's challenging in a lot of ways. Very challenging to select which ones we're going to go in, and very challenging because it involves a lot of time in front of the computer and a lot of frustrating to-ing and fro-ing, especially as I'm not even in the same country as the publishers, about how it's going to be laid out and which maps and so on. It's not at all really what I want to be doing. That's partly why I started the walking group here, because really I want to just go and walk. I don't want to spend my whole time stuck in front of the computer trying to fidget about with old walks that I wrote 3 years ago and make them up to date and so on. Next week I'm going back and walking them all again, so that'll be a bit of a fresh injection.
And that's going to be quite a challenge. You're going to be having to walk, what, three
walks? Three walks a day for 8 days. It will be the first volume, 24 walks, because it's going to be two volumes with 24 in each, and each volume is going to cover 6 months. So this first volume is autumn and winter walks. Obviously, you can walk them any time. There are certain walks that are better at certain times of year.
What I do is I ask each interviewee to recommend a couple of walks. So I'm now going to get you to narrow down your 200, not just to 48, but to 2. But then I'm not even actually going to limit you to Moscow. So you can choose any two walks that you could recommend.
So, well, that's very tricky. I mean, one of my all-time favourites in Berlin was along the Havel-Hohenweg, the cliff above the river Havel that eventually leads to this island, Peacock Island, Fraueninsel. And that was a walk I did in every season, several times with the walking group there, that was always very beautiful. But I think in Moscow, I'm still definitely fixating on the different possibilities there. There are two parks that particularly stand out for me. They're fairly well known. I mean, they're in the tourist guides, but they're very good places for walking because they're very specifically Russian. Kolomenskoy Park, where Peter the Great was born. It's slightly hilly, which is unusual in Moscow. It's got these old orchards planted by Tsar Alexei, Peter the Great's father. It's got interesting old churches, very beautiful landscapes. It's a nice combination. And the other one, which is a complete contrast, would be Vedenha, which is the old exhibition grounds, the Soviet exhibition grounds, and it's full of these completely mad architectural fantasies, these pavilions that were built in the 1930s and 1950s, fountains and all kinds of bizarre mosaics and things like that. And they that's quite worth seeing, I think.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities in London. In this episode, you've heard from Phoebe Taplin. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.